They're under the parables. Now, this leads us to our second message today, or second parable, rather. And remember, the purpose of our studying these parables is to show you how that they are tied to this end time hour, the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, and our understanding of the kingdom of God that is in our midst. Remember, Jesus said to the Pharisees, they came to him and said, "Well, when will your kingdom be?" And he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Now, I know man has preached for years, "Oh, that's the kingdom of, you know, that's, you know, God's in their heart." Now, why would God, Jesus himself, why would he speak to these Christ-rejecting Pharisees and say, "My kingdom's in you"? A kingdom is not a place. A kingdom is a people. It's a king and his people. And the presence of Christ was in their midst, and they didn't even know it. He was there, his disciples were there, the people of his kingdom, his dominion, they were there. You see, if a kingdom is a piece of real estate, then there's many kingdoms throughout the world that basically were not kingdoms. Because they owned a piece of real estate, and they grew that real estate from land to land, from peoples to peoples. And as they grew, they had other peoples under them, under their domain, and the kingdom expanded. And if it's a real estate, how can it expand? You see. So we're talking about a kingdom, a king, and his people. All right, now, Mark 4 and verse 26, we're going to pick up where we left off. And Jesus said, "So is the kingdom of God." Now, the reason why we went from verse 24 to 25 is because he says right here, "And so is the kingdom of God." And so we have to ask, well, what was the kingdom of God? He said, "Be careful how you hear, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. And so is the kingdom of God." Now, he goes on, he says, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in his sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, it sounds like a mystery to me, but let me just say, when I was in my study last night, it was just as plain as I could, and you're going to see how plain it is. Number one, he says, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man casts seed into the ground." Now remember, in the other parables, he talked about the sower going forth sowing seed. That was the Son of Man, correct? Notice, he sowed seed. But in this parable, he's saying, such is the kingdom of God, that the seed is in the ground, no longer just being sown, but this seed is in the ground. And the seed in the ground is the first age planting of the seed, the age of martyrdom, when the seed was killed and was buried. Now watch. And he says, and it should sleep and rise night and day, night and day, night and day. This is the measure of days of the church ages. Okay? Now watch. And the seed should spring and grow up. Now the seed springing up is bringing forth the new leaves or new messages, one after the other, from Luther until the last one, back to the original seed again. He's talking about the process of the kingdom of God as it's coming into full manifestation in the church. And he says, and he knoweth not. He knoweth not how. Notice, it's a mystery. They know it not. There's a secret rapture of the church. They know it not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, and the earth represents the field in which the seed or the word was sown. First, he says, then he says, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. That represents the people everywhere. The true word of God has been sown. This is the process of the springing up of the rapture, which began in Luther's day. Now watch. But when the full fruit is brought forth, when the fruit is brought forth, and the fruit brought forth signifies the full maturity of the fruit, And notice it's being brought forth, so we need to know what it means, as well as we must know what the fruit is. What does it mean to bring it forth? What does it mean? What does fruit represent? All right? And immediately he pulleth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And the harvest is the ingathering at the time of Christ's presence. So let's look at this and we'll break it down point by point. Now, point number one. He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now we see here that Jesus is typing the kingdom of God as a man sowing seed into the ground. In Matthew 13 and verse 38, Jesus said, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. But notice Jesus is not talking about, here in Mark chapter 4, about the tares who are the, of the wicked one. He is only speaking of the kingdom of God, and therefore this seed planted in the ground represents the children of God. Alright? And we found in several other parables that he also referred to the Son of Man sowing seed to the ground. But in this parable, he is defining a little more clearly, because he is not talking about the sowing of the seed, but he's talking about the process whereby it must first be buried in the ground. Therefore, before it can spring up again, so the emphasis here is not on the field, but the children of God coming forth or growing up in the kingdom. And here we find the ground represents the gospel field again, as it has in other parables of the sower. The seed being cast into the ground represents the children of God being planted in death in the first church age, where the seed of God was planted in earth in martyrdom. Hallelujah. Now watch how this develops. Jesus made this plain in John 12 and verse 24 when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then John makes this very clear in verse 33 when he says, this he said, signifying what death he should die. You see, had Jesus not gone into the ground, that seed life, the Word of God is a seed, correct? Had he not been buried in the ground, the spirit that was in him would not have been released. You see, it takes bearing that seed into the ground in order to release the life that's in it so that it can bring forth many others. So you see this parable in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking about the condition of the kingdom, the children of God, and the growth up into Christ. Alright? Now, so we see in this parable that he's speaking of the kingdom of God in reference to the children of God and Christ himself. For as we have stated before, the kingdom of God is not a place but a king and his people, and therefore we're looking at the kingdom of God as representing Jesus Christ and the children of God, or the elect seed or royal seed of God. And I do not say this without knowledge. But as you will read on, this parable will become very clear to you what Jesus is speaking about. Now we're moving on to point number two. Jesus is still speaking on the seed that has gone into the ground, and then he says, and should sleep and rise night and day. Now plants don't sleep. He's not talking about a plant. He's talking about people. Plants just exist. People sleep. People rise up. People sleep. People rise up. Night and day. Night and day. You see? He's talking about people here. And notice that they sleep. Then they rise up. Then they sleep. Then they rise up. Then they sleep, etc. Now we know that when a believer in Christ dies, he is not dead, but he sleepeth. You see? So he's talking about the believer going down in sleep. He's dead to the flesh, but he's sleeping in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, for I do not wish for you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep. He didn't call them dead, but he said that they are asleep. And then he continued, and I do not wish you to grieve, even as those that have no hope in Christ do grieve. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those also which have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he returns again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, in other words, we have thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message to gather his people. With the voice of an archangel he'll bring forth the resurrection, and with the trump of God the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. And so too here we find that the seed that Jesus is referring to comes forth in one day or one age, then it dies off. It sleeps. It goes to the grave. And then the next day, another seed comes forth. It rises up. Another age. another rises up, and then it sleeps too in the grave. And then another rises up, and it sleeps too in the grave, just as the seed life in the wheat must go to the ground, or it will abide alone. Now notice, one seed went into the ground, and then arose, or rose up. And that was the royal seed of God, which was Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And from that one seed came forth in every other age that have come off the same root and with the same life rising up, and then they have fallen asleep in the grave. From Ephesians 2 and 1, Paul says, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin." You were just in that seed form, but that light came, struck, the pillar of fire anointed that seed, and that spirit began to rise up in that age, you see. And that leads us to point number 3. The seed should spring and grow up. And the seed springing up is a putting forth of new leaves. And notice Jesus says it springs up and it puts forth new leaves or a new message each time. And it grows as well, which means that it does not stop. But one is adding from the next, just like the process which began with Luther's time and has come up through Wesley and up through Pentecost until this hour of harvest. From the rapture, Brother Branham said, what if Moses would have come and brought Noah's message? We'll build an ark and float down the Nile. It wouldn't have worked. And neither would Jesus' message have worked in Moses' day. And neither will Wesley's message ever work in Luther, or Luther's message vice versa. And today, our last great reformation was Pentecost, and today we're moving from that. And the Pentecostal message won't mix with this, because it's another day. It's all the Word of God, but it's building. Like the feet, the arm, coming up, it's forming a bride for the rapture, see? Don't displace them people back there. They've lived to their message. All of them will come out of that, that was bride. Just like life going through the stalk of the wheat, it leaves the wheat, the hull. But the wheat forms itself, like the grain of wheat that fell in the ground. Now Jesus is speaking of a different stages of the same plant coming up. Notice what Brother Bram says concerning this in the rapture tape. He says in paragraph 43, just like Jesus had to fall to rise again, we've read the scripture, so did the church of Pentecost had to fall. It had to go into the ground, them dark ages. Any wheat, that any grain that goes into the ground, it has to lay in the dark time to bring forth. But it started sprouting in Martin Luther, and it come on through Wesley, out into Pentecost, and going out into the grain. And now the denominational system that they left behind their stalks. That's all. It's to be burnt, the denominational system. But the real grain of wheat that come out of each one of those reformers will be caught up in the bride. All together will make the bride. So the same picture that Jesus is talking about, first the wheat, you know, the plant, or the stalk, and then the leaf, and then the corn in the ear. He says in the ear. Notice Jesus said in the ear. He made a distinction, not just the corn, but the corn in the ear. You see? The same thing Brother Branham is talking about, the stage is going up. All right? Now that leads us to point number 4. And Jesus said of this process, he said, and he knoweth not. And he knoweth not how. Now if he knoweth not how, then it's a mystery, correct? Then if he's speaking about the mystery of the kingdom, and we know that there is to come a time when all the mysteries are to be finished, so there's got to be a knowledge come forth that will unveil the entire mystery of God, or the mystery of Christ. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, you see? But notice this mystery is concerning the kingdom of God and how the seed of God is to come forth from age to age until the entire manifestation of the seed at the end is back to the original seed that went into the ground. And it was the royal seed that went into the ground, it's the royal seed that comes up. Amen. Alpha has become Omega. You see? The Alpha has become Omega. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He never said he was anything in between. Therefore, the same seed that went into the ground in the first age is to come into full manifestation in the last age again. And the rapture, or catching up of the church, is a secret sudden catching or going of the church. Notice, growing and going. The secret growing of the church, the secret going of the church. Okay? Man will not know it. And notice how Jesus speaks of the seed coming forth, and yet man is not aware of what's happening. It's a mystery to him. And what is that mystery? Jesus says, look, it's going to come forth in a plant, and then a leaf, and then the hull, and then in the hull. The corn in the hull. You see, it's a process. Jesus gives us a three in the process. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they know nothing about it. But it started to come up in Martin Luther's day, didn't it? Then it come up, sprung forth in Wesley's day. And then in Pentecost, and then God said, all that had been eaten, I will come and restore.
Amen.
I'll bring the mysteries. I'll settle it all. You'll know about it when the kingdom is there. Oh, hallelujah. From the first seal, Brother Bram said, for remember the days of the seventh angel. He's sounding forth, blasting forth the gospel trumpet. He is to finish all the mysteries of God. Just like here, it come forth in the early church age, and we'll get it after a while, a doctrine. And then it become a saying first, then a doctrine. And then it becomes a statute. Then it become a church. And through the dark ages and out of the dark ages come forth the first Reformation, Luther. And that brought him all kinds of mysterious things that was happening during that church age, all back in there. But he never finished it up. Then along come Wesley with sanctification. Got some more of it, but still never finished it. Left loose ends everywhere. Such as sprinkling instead of baptism, and Luther took Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of Lord Jesus Christ, all these different things. Then along come the Pentecostal age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they cabbage down on that. Now there cannot be no more ages. That's all of it. That's the Philadelphia, the Laodicean. But we found in the studying of the Scripture that the messenger to the age come right at the end of the age every time. Paul come at the end of the age. We find out that Irenaeus come at the end of the age. Martin, end of the age. Luther, the end of the age. You know, the Catholic age, see? And Wesley, at the end of the Lutheran age. And Pentecost, at the end of the age of sanctification through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the Pentecostal age, we are supposed to receive, according to the Word, as God helped me tonight to show you through here, that we are to receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God for a rapturing of the church. All right, so let's repeat. Let's just continue with point number five. Jesus said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now, remember, the earth represents the gospel field in which the seed of or children were planted in. All right? In Matthew 13:38, Jesus said, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. But notice he's not speaking of the tares in this parable. In this parable, he is speaking of the kingdom of God. Therefore, the seed he is talking about is the children of God. Now notice he's talking about the fruit of the kingdom, which would have to be the doctrine of the kingdom coming forth. Because Brother Brown taught us in the false anointed ones at the end time that the fruit is the teaching of the season. That's the doctrine. You see, people even that follow Brother Brown, 95% of the people follow Brother Brown, they don't want the doctrine. They want a big church, they want music programs, they want missionary programs, but they don't want the teaching. And unless you are taught, you cannot even see God. Jesus said, all that have heard and have learned will come to the Father. You've got to learn. That's why once in a while, you know, you'll see me throw out a test. Brother George Smith told me, he said his favorite thing on the website is the test. He likes that. The field is the word. Okay. Notice then, he's talking about the fruit of the kingdom, which we know that is the doctrine of the kingdom coming forth. So what we're looking at here in this point is the doctrine coming forth. Notice, not fully yet. Jesus didn't say, notice how Jesus said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit. Bringeth. That's a present tense. That's a coming forth, but not there yet. If I say, Ron, bringeth thy book to me, you haven't done it yet. If he did, I would say, Ron brought the book to me. So bringeth is not yet. And notice then, it is not fully yet. And therefore it is bringing forth. Then it is not fully there yet, but only in the process of developing or coming forth. And then Jesus clarifies what this doctrine is that he's speaking of, when he describes it as the first blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. Notice, he says the earth bringeth forth the doctrine. Bringeth forth the fruit, the doctrine. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See? Now, the Greek word sitos, which is translated here as corn, is actually translated more often as the word wheat than corn. Thus, it signifies the seed coming back to its original state or condition. Notice, the spoken word is the original seed. Notice then in this parable, Jesus is speaking of the three stages of the plant coming up through the last three church ages. From the rapture, Brother Bram said, now the light that come up through Luther is what made Wesley. And the light that come out of Wesley is what made Pentecost. And the light that come out of Pentecost is what makes the wheat. But they are a carrier, see? The real life goes through there. The message goes through, but it's heading on up to the wheat. That's the reason that the wheat come up and bring the whole thing in a rapture up here at the top. The bride itself coming out of each age, but the denominational stalk dies, it dries up, and it dies. And notice Jesus' words very carefully. He said, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the ear. Luther, Wesley, and then Laodicea, Pentecost, at the end of the age, what? We're back to wheat again. In the ear, in the shock, you see? Now, it's exactly what Jesus was preaching there. Okay? He is talking about the ear not being the end of it, but the ear is hiding the corn of wheat, or the seed is protecting it until the harvest. In Joel 1 and 2 we read, hear this ye old men, and give ear all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children, that's one generation, and let your children tell their children another generation, and their children another generation, a third generation. That which the palm worm hath left, that's that Catholic age. The locust eaten, and that which the locust had left, the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath eaten, the caterpillar hath eaten. Four stages, like the four seals, the first four seals, the Catholic Church going out there and just chomping, 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 until there was hardly anything left. It was in the ground. It was die. It looked like it had died off. And then God said, I will restore. And up come Luther, up come Wesley, up come this message. Notice it is the same worm in different stages doing the damage to the plant, the kingdom of God, until God said that he would come and restore again the plant to the same condition that it went into the ground. Hallelujah. Alpha has become Omega. The same ministry that took place in the first age has taken place in the second age. There's three comings of the pillar of fire: Moses, Paul, William Branham. Everyone, there was an exodus, a coming out, a going into. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the plant. Excuse me. A brother answered, from things that are to be, Luther believed in justification, but Wesley had sanctification, and the Pentecostals come along, and they couldn't just take sanctification and justification. It was time for the restoration of the gifts. And now we're going from that. See, the three stages of the vine coming up. The vine coming up. That's that plant Jesus is talking about. The first, it's a little blade. Luther, come up from that Reformation. All right? That was a stalk. Now watch nature. God and nature works in continuity because God is in nature. Then next come this tassel, the pollen, the Methodist age. Then come the Pentecostal, and oh my, just so perfect. See? Just like the grain of wheat looked like it's a perfect grain of wheat, but open it up. There's no wheat there at all. It's a shuck, a carrier of life. But the life is working on through it. All right, that takes us to point number six. But when the fruit is brought forth. Now notice, before he was talking about it bringeth forth. Now he's talking about, but when the fruit is brought forth, it's finished. When the doctrine is finished, when the teaching is finished, and we know the fruit, now having been brought forth, is a speaking in past tense. It is no longer speaking here of the process of growing, but the final product is now on display and is fully ripe and fully mature. Hallelujah. Therefore, being brought forth signifies the plant is coming to full maturity. And notice he's speaking of a time here. He says, when the fruit is brought forth. So we must understand Jesus is now speaking of that time when the plant has come full circle. And the wheat is now in the ear, the shuck is pulling away from it, and it is now at this time for the final stage to happen concerning the kingdom of God. And Brother Branham describes his final condition to us in the rapture. He says, have you noticed this last days how it's begun to pull away now? When that wheat begins to grow, then the shuck begins to get away from it. Look back in that little wheat. When you look at it, pull it open like this and look into it and see. You got a little bud of wheat back there, and you'd have to take a 30-power scope to look into it to see that little bud of wheat back there. See? But it's way back in there, but it starts growing. Now that shuck has to be there to shelter that, to give it a chance to get out. But then when it begins to grow and the message begins to spread, then the shuck pulls away from it. And the light goes right out of that shuck, right into the wheat, and it goes on. And that's the way each church age does. It just can't be nature. That's God continuity, the way he does things. And now that's the age that we're living in right now, the seventh church age. And that leads us to our final point, which is number 7, which is completion. Notice the last words that Jesus says in concluding this parable. He says, immediately he putteth in the sickle. And the sickle represents the combine, because the harvest is come. Now notice he says immediately. In other words, we do not see any reason to delay any longer. And what causes Jesus to say immediately? When the fruit or doctrine finally comes forth in its maturity and understanding and has manifested itself in the life of this seed of his kingdom, then and only then it's ready for the harvest. Now I know brothers going around and they're saying, you know, when that last one comes in, and they only give half a quote. Brother Branson, when that last one comes in and is fully child trained.
Amen.
You see, they're so worried about getting them to come to the message, but they won't teach them what the message is all about. They get people to come. God sent a prophet. And then when they come to church and they're on fire because God sent a prophet, then they sit in those ministries and they die. Because they won't teach the doctrine. It's offensive, they say. Well, Jesus said, blessed is he that's not offended in me. So we see the final point is the harvest. From the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branham said, when the grain begins to grow and it gets bigger, so it can cover over something, the denomination pulls away from it. We're at the end time. And what does it have to do now? Lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. That's exactly the word to be ripened into your heart to bring forth and live what we're talking about. Yes, sir. God wants to instruct you in all righteousness so that the man of God might be fully furnished unto all good things. The purpose is not so that we can sit and say, oh, you know what? We've got something down in the future called the third pole. Men preaching, there was just a convention a few weeks ago. 4 full days of talking about the third pole, and Brother Branham said, I must say nothing about it, because if I do, the devil will get a hold of it and do great damage. So what are we preaching 4 days? One guy preached a series of 7 messages on the third pole. How can you preach 7 messages on something Brother Branham said he must say nothing about? You're venturing without authority. Always looking down the road, always looking back and failing to recognize what God's doing now. From the rapture, Brother Branham said, this is the end. The wheat's come back to wheat again. The wheat's come back to the grain. The shuck is pulled away from it, and the wheat must lay in the presence of the sun to be ripened. You remember when we talked about the parable where Jesus said that they must bind into bundles? And we talked about the bundles, how they all got to be in the same shape, the same configuration. In other words, they're all going in the same direction, same denomination. Notice he said that he would send forth his angels. They would gather together the wheat. I mean, they would gather together the tares and bind them into bundles. You remember that? But what about the wheat? Now look, I can take toothpicks. I can wrap toothpicks. Give me a rubber band. I'll wrap toothpicks. Now, if I have a pile of toothpicks like this, you know, I've got to kind of put them all in the same order in order to bind them. But what about wheat? Can you put a rubber band around a bunch of wheat? Can you put string around a bunch of wheat? Can you bind wheat by obligation? You see? No, they'll be gathered. They're gathered into his garner, into his kingdom. One by one, by one, by one. You can't gather them into bulk, you know, a bulk here and a bulk there. No, the binding into bundles is for the burning, he said. The wheat, try it, Ron. Grab a bunch of little seeds. Try to put a rubber band around them. You won't be able to do it. From things that are to be, Brother Bramson, now remember in every reformation we've had on all those Lutherans and so forth, in 3 years they've organized. That's right. Every revival brought an organization in 3 years. Think how long it's been now. 20-something and no organization. Why? It's the seed coming. Forming under the husk like this. Laying out now. It's got to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen into the glorious grain like the one that went into it first. The real church that went down first is coming right back up through the stalk to come out another church. When the combine comes to pick it up, the light that went down in Luther, the light that went down in Methodist, the light that went down in Pentecost will come up into the grain. It's all to go right into the grain and go forth and to go out forming the perfect body of Jesus Christ. And when is this to happen? He's here doing it now. It is at the parousia of Christ, the presence of Christ, that we are gathered together unto Him. In closing, if we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming," that word is parousia, "of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." Brother Branham said in the shout, in the rapture, he said, there's a shout, a voice, a trump. He said, the shout is the message. And he said, it's to gather the people unto Christ. The doctrine is perfect. The fruit is ripened and in the presence of the Son, and we are just waiting on the combine to finish their sweep across the nations to bring forth the wheat into the garner. In Matthew 24, verse 31, "And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet," that's a gospel trumpet, "and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of the earth unto the other." In Mark 13, verse 26, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory, and then shall He send His angels, and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven." The doctrine has got to go to the four corners of the earth. And Ephesians 1, verse 10, "That in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him." The child training has begun, and one of these days, soon I believe, it'll be over. The last one will have come in. The last one will be child trained. And it'll be time to go. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, our hearts are filled, Lord, with great joy, for You have given truly us an understanding of Your kingdom in such a way that we have, Lord, never understood it before. And You have tied these scriptures together, Father, until there is no way that we could possibly reject what You are doing in this hour. That Your great combine is gleaning Your seed from the four corners of the world, and we are thankful to be partakers in Your kingdom gathering. Father, I pray as we would continue to glean Your harvest, that You would keep us in the palm of Your hand. And may we, Father, be as Your Son Jesus and Your prophet William Branham were, who had that great gift to get themselves out of their way. For Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.